Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, welcome to episode 74 of the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Guys, the date today is April 11th, 2012. Topic for today is going to be understanding the skinny on ADHD, taking ADHD one step deeper. I'm going to do a series. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to take one day out of the week, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time going over ADHD. What it is, what it means to you as parents who have had kids that are diagnosed with ADHD, and then some of the things that we can do as parents to expand and help our kids be successful, grow up healthy, not use a disorder as some kind of crutch to invalidate them from fully reaching everything that they are capable of doing, because a kid who has been diagnosed with ADHD can go far. In some cases, because of their energy level, they're going to go farther than some others who don't have that diagnosis, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Today, we're going to spend mostly our time just understanding what it is, what it means, what it does. Now, some of you guys that are listening to me, it's like, all right, Trey, I don't have a kid who ADHD. I don't know if I really need this. I agree, but hang on. You may not have a kid who's been diagnosed with this, but I'll guarantee you know at least one who has been. Send their parents this way. Let them get in touch with this information. Let them start catching the series that we're going to have on these over the next 5 weeks. We're going to do a five-part series on these, one time a week for the next 5 weeks. And it's such a good one for them to catch. So shoot them on over here. Like this. Recommend it on Facebook. Retweet it with an at message to somebody on Twitter. Do those kinds of things. Get them headed over here. Help a family understand a little bit better about their diagnosis of their kid and what it means. Before we get into that, guys, of course, let's cover our housekeeping real quick. Guys, consider signing up for the free email episode notification that I've created for you guys. What that allows you to do is to sign up for our email notification. And what that'll do is whenever you enter your email into that, you'll get updates through my web business that will allow you to know new content that's coming out, new offers that we're giving out to you guys, etc. It is completely free. I really need that because it helps me stay in better touch with you guys, especially those of you that are listening on Stitcher and iTunes. That's the way I do it. I listen on iTunes or Stitcher now to just about everything, and so I lose some of that connectivity and that being able to let you guys know what's going on as quickly as possible if you're not coming by the website. So sign up for that. I promise I will not slough you with just tons of inbox stuff that you'll have to delete out. And I'll promise anything that comes through there will be good material, heavy hitting. Guys, also consider becoming a PTACR. PTACR stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. If you want to support the show at less than 20 cents per episode or less, if you feel like you're getting 20 cents per episode, consider signing up as a PTACR. I've set it up for a monthly basis where you can go $5 a month, or you can go $50 if you want to cover a year and save 13% in full. Guys, partner of the day for today is Burpee.com. Trey, what the heck does Burpee have anything to do, as being a gardening site, have anything to do with parenting? It's one of our personal ways as we parent. It's one of our personal favorites. It's for teaching family skills, hanging out as a family, and then really teaching responsibility to our 2, 4, and 6-year-old, is that we garden. And each one of our kids has picked out a seed base that they wanted to start growing something up, and they're responsible for it. My son picked gladiolus, their bulbous flower system. My daughter picked watermelons, and they're responsible to water them and take care of them and weed them. And so it gives them some buy-in to a garden, and it's very, very neat to watch as our kids are excited about growing something themselves that they actually get to eat and partake of later. Very neat stuff. Fun fact about Trey for today. I experienced a new recent culinary love. Just something that whenever somebody first told me, when my wife first said, we're going to be having this, I just thought to myself, oh, well, that's kind of ghetto. I mean, I'm so serious. I totally stereotyped it, and I fell in love with it. And that new culinary love is fish tacos. I never saw it coming. I mean, when my wife told me we were having fish tacos, I thought, oh, well, great. Weird. And let me tell you, man, she took those dadgum fish sticks and heated them up and threw them in there. She made this homemade creamy sauce that just, I mean, I'm full from eating lunch and drinking Earl Grey tea. And I'm still, my mouth is watering at the thought of these fish tacos because they were so good. So, fish tacos, if you haven't ever had them, jump over there, check them out. Make you some fish tacos. They'll, if you do it right, they will blow your socks off. All right, with all of that said, guys, we're going to jump into our topic for today. Understanding the skinny on ADHD, taking ADHD one step deeper. What I want to do is, I'm going to make this a five-step series that we're going to go over. What I want you to do is if you're a parent who is going through the trials and tribulations of your kiddo who has been diagnosed, if you are a parent who just found out that their kid has been diagnosed and you have absolutely nothing to do, if you are a teacher, I want you to be able to understand what you can do. And I want you to walk out a veritable expert on this. Now, my disclaimer for today is, I am not a diagnoser. I do not do diagnoses. So do not use what I'm saying as your way today is to go diagnose. Go get that professionally done. Say, well, Trey, you're a part of the psychology field. Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that I'm trained, and I'm not. It doesn't mean I'm trained in psychological evaluation. So take your kid, get them diagnosed properly. That's the way you want to go with it. But I want you parents and you teachers to be full, and even just those of you that are just fascinated by the whole thing, I want you guys to walk out over the next 5 weeks well-versed and very highly understanding of what it is, how to notice it, what are the right ways to look for things, what are the wrong ways to look for things. And then I'm going to go over in week five, I'm going to probably go over some of my personal feelings. Having done this as long as I have, having been submersed not only in the family dynamics and family systems, but also got to watch, practice, and work with kiddos who were, in some cases, very, very high ADHD. I even got to work with a gentleman who was adult onset, which is extremely unusual. At least it is in all the circumstances I've ever seen. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those things today. And just again, I just want y'all to walk out of here feeling equipped and knowledgeable. So, first question, what does ADHD stand for? You've probably heard your doctor throw it out there. You've probably even heard it, mentioned a couple times, but let's really break it down. ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. So everybody knows what a deficit is, right? That's whenever there's something missing. Something that is supposed to be there is missing. So if they're attention deficit, that means that a person lacks the ability to retain attention. And then you understand hyperactivity. And we're going to break these down a little more deeper here in a bit. And then the last word out of that is you got to understand, what is a disorder? Disorder doesn't mean that you're sick. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean any of those things. A disorder just means it's something that influences your ability to live a standard healthy life. That's what a disorder is. So there's three different kinds of, so we've got ADHD. So that's the big umbrella, right? That's the big umbrella. Now there's three different categories that fall underneath that umbrella, right? Number one, you have ADHD predominantly inattentive. So these are the kiddos who for the most part just really struggle keeping themselves focused. They may not be hyperactive, hyperactive and running around and going bonkers and nuts and those kinds of things, but they struggle to stay focused whenever you're working with them, when you're teaching them, when you're trying to talk to them about something. The next one that you have under these three is predominantly hyperactive impulsive. Sounds just the way it means. It means just the way it sounds, excuse me. That just means that the kiddos experience a high level of hyperactivity and they're often impulsive. So maybe they run around, go bonkers and crazy. It's like they're driven by a motor and they can't stop. And then they're also very impulsive. These are the ones that can't wait to go their turn. They blurt things out. And we're going to talk more about these here in a little bit. And then last is combined inattentive and hyperactivity. So this is, there's equal amounts of each one presence. They both have a struggle focusing, and they have a struggle to stay calm, relaxed, and not energetic and running around going, you know, like a motor's driving them. So let's talk real quick about the diagnosis. Now, some of you out there have just received the diagnosis. Some of you guys got the diagnosis, you know, 3, 6, however many years ago, but never really had it explained as to exactly what does a doctor do, what does a psychologist do whenever they diagnose, or what do they look for whenever they're diagnosing kids that have been called ADHD. Well, here's what they look for. Number one, they look for long-lasting inattention, impulsive, and hyperactivity. Okay, so why do we say long-lasting? They say the other word that you'll often use is that they'll use the word chronic in more of the clinical setting. So long-lasting, inattention, impulsive, hyperactivity. And that can be and/or in all of those cases. So long periods of time, and we're talking, I mean, it needs to have lasted over a few years, right? So it doesn't just mean that during the summer they have a harder time staying focused and less impulsive because they're thinking about going outside and riding bikes with their kids and going to the pool and all that other good stuff, right? But then when winter comes around, then they're fine because there's not nearly as much to do outside, and they're a big outside person, but it's not nearly as much fun when it's cold, right? So it needs to be something that happens, and it's not just a swing, right? It needs to be something, again, that's long-lasting, so it needs to be something that isn't triggered by something. So let's say a kid lost his mom in a car accident right around Christmas time, okay? A lot of times whenever some kids, whenever they begin experiencing emotional uncomfortability, they deal with it by accessing that energy and going bonkers. In reality, parents, adults do a version of this as well. Have you ever known that person who, rather than slow down and think about what's going on or what's happening, they just keep themselves busy, 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 so they don't ever have to slow down and think about it? I know a few in our lives that do that. This is just the child version of that. They're just trying to keep themselves so busy because this time that is uncomfortable or hurt, just painful for them, it's one of the ways that they can often do that. So again, it needs to be long-lasting. Next off on this, when it comes to the long-lasting bit, some of these things are just normal for kids. Little kids have a hard time focusing. Little kids have a tendency to be impulsive and just do or say the first thing that comes to their mind. I remember one time we were on a mission trip in Africa, and the missionary's son was in there with me, and he loved me. I've always had an ability to connect with little kids, and we were riding in the car. And, of course, you know, he's grown up in Africa now, right, for most of his life where he can actually remember. And so, I mean, he's just used to people that are just thin and often sometimes emaciated, just ultra skinny. And I remember him looking over at me, you know, and talking about how kids can be so impulsive. And he just looked at me and said, "Trey, why are you so fat?" And I just remember I looked at him. I said, "Well, it's because I eat too much food." But kids are often so impulsive. And they just jump to do the first thing, and that's not abnormal. Again, the key to it is it chronic? Is it long-lasting? A lot of kids are hyper. A lot of little kids have a lot of energy. And they want to go run around. They want to burn energy. Males are typically worse. Little boys are worse in most cases. They often have more of the energy. As a matter of fact, I read something a while back, and don't quote me on this one, but I read something a while back that said that more boys get diagnosed with the hyperactive one. So I can't remember if that's accurate or not, but I think that was right. But this is one of those ones that I will say, don't quote me on that. Diagnosis. Number one, it needs to be long-lasting of those three, the little triumvirates. Number two, you need to have seen these things onset before the age of 7. There is a lot of stuff that is going on with the little kids at the metabolically even at the age of 7. In other words, 7-year-olds, just 7-year-olds and above, and you can be a little lower at 6 or a little above at 8, but for the most part, 7-year-olds have a lot of energy. So you need to see these things onset before 7 years old. If you haven't noticed that, level of activity and movement and inattention and all those kinds of things before that. In a lot of cases, it's just the body, the developmentally what their body's going through. I have talked to some. I'm very leery of ADHD diagnosis. They have been misabused. I think that's a double negative, isn't it? They have been abused, they've been misappropriated, and they've been kids are being overdiagnosed. And so I'm very leery of this. But I've worked with a couple of families that I looked at it and thought, I mean, there's no question. I mean, even you guys who've probably never sat down to read the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the DSM or the Psychologist's Bible, would still look at this and go, oh my God, yes, that is what they are. I've worked with those kids, and some of their mamas have told me that they were more active even in the womb. So, you need to see an onset before age 7. Number 3, this is my favorite one, and you need to perk up to this. You need to see this between different environmental venues. So, you need to see it at home. They have a hard time focusing, they're running around, they're inattentive, and they're hyperactive, they're running around, they're impulsive, and they are jumping off of stuff like crazy, you know, little kids and stuff like that at home. You need to see it at school. They have a hard time raising their hand and waiting to get picked on before they blurt answers out, or they're getting up and they're running around. Teachers having a hard time with getting them not, you know, just blurting out the first thing that comes to their mind. They need to be able to be, you know, be that way at daycare. When you drop them off at daycare, you get reports that they're just running. You know, you need to see that across those three venues: home, school, and daycare. So think about it this way: you got a kid who's fine at home and who's fine at daycare, but maybe they have a hard time at school. Okay, now we're beginning to see a pattern. It may not necessarily be them behaviorally. It may just be the environment that they're in. If kids do just fine at school and daycare, but when they come home, they begin to elicit or exhibit this behavior, there's a pattern there. Now, I know some of you parents listened to that and just went, oh, man, what does that say about me? I mean, don't fret about it. A lot of times, all it is just that there hasn't been solid boundary setting. And so, kid learns that at school, he can't get away with that because teacher, you know, stops him. Kid can't do it at daycare because parent stops him. But what he's learned is that mom and dad aren't going to stop him. And so, they'll often just do that thing. And so, sometimes it's just simple modification in that. Sometimes, it's other issues. Let's be honest. There are some amazing and wonderful teachers out there. They're incredible at what they do. They have every right to be in the position that they're in because they are amazing. However, my honest look at it is, for every one of those, there's 4 who are absolutely horrible. And they're not horrible because they're horrible people, but they're in the wrong field. They have too much of their own emotional doo-doo that they haven't dealt with. They're young and inexperienced. Let's be honest, in an economic downturn, what's one of the first things that most school districts do? They cut their more experienced teachers and they hire on the cheap ones, which are new and young. Nothing wrong with being new and young to a field. But because there's such a disconnect between the young'uns and the wise'uns, then what happens is there's no cross-teaching across that. And so these young ones have to hack away at it at their own. So, anyway, so a kid's issue, he may be fine at school and he may be fine at daycare, but his teacher just bores the snot out of him. Maybe his personality is that he just is not one of your classic textbook students. You know, I debated this in my mind, whether I was even going to say anything about it, but I am, just briefly, as a small rant, because my podcast, and I get to, I do have a big problem with the way we are setting up school. I hate that everybody's desk is in a nice, pretty row, and everybody sits quietly as I lecture, and you take notes, and then I give you a test, and then you do just fine. And it's all about, you know, writing it on a text board, or, you know, talking it in an auditory lecture, and then you're supposed to be able to learn, you're supposed to be quiet, you're supposed to sit respectfully with your hands crossed and take your notes. You know what? Maybe that works for some of you guys out there, but that doesn't work for everybody. And I hate it. So this, maybe they just have a hard time with the way the teacher teaches. Anyway, And then last, number four, for diagnosis, it has to affect a kid's ability to live a normal life. Any one of those in a small amount can be perfectly normal and perfectly okay for your kids to experience. They may have some struggles with staying focused in their attention on the teacher. Maybe that's just the way it is. It happens. It happens. Some of them just may have more of an impulsive mindset. They may just kind of react off the first thing that they do. But you want to know what? That can also be very powerful for a kid. If you take a look at some of the major components of what makes a good business leader, CEO, executive, one of the best features that you can see them is their ability to react and make decisions quickly. Now, I'm not saying that they make decisions without counsel, but good leaders know how to make that quick reaction. You see it on the battlefield in a lot of cases. I'm sorry, guys. You know me and my military stuff. I love that. But one of the things the training corps taught us was that when you are out there, you never want to get caught bogged down. You want to be moving and moving and moving. And it is better to make decisions to think quickly and get your fire team moving as fast as possible to the next position, moving towards an enemy, than it is to get bogged down and stop making decisions. And that's one of the key things that staff would look for in our fire teams to make good leaders to appoint as squad leaders. Who are those folks that make those decisions readily and quickly? Even if it meant casualties, getting up and moving and having casualties is better than getting stuck and then everybody gets killed. It's the same thing in kids. Maybe a kid may seem impulsive, but maybe you can flip that and say they make decisions quickly. Do we need to temper some of that? Probably. But I think we often get so reactive to the words attention deficit, hyperactive, impulsive, that we don't stop to see that these can be strengths-based as well. Anyway, a little rant I get on. So moving on, guys. So we talked a little bit about diagnosis. Let's talk a little bit about what exactly does hyperactivity look like. Now, I'm about to give you guys the key strategies that your psychologists and whatnot are going to be diagnosing. I'm going to repeat that por favor. One more time. I'm going to say it again, please. Do not use this as a diagnosis tool, guys. Don't grab this and go diagnose your kids. There are so many things to that even I won't do it. I will send someone who asks me, hey, Trey, is my kid? I am going to send them to a professional to get it done. You need to do it too. So don't use this as your free pass for diagnosis. So these are your kiddos that they're not very attentive to the small details. They struggle with the ability to listen and succinctly remember and record information that somebody gives them. Next, inattention. They are often careless and messy. These are your kids that are careless. They're quick and fast in what they do, so they don't slow down and they're very messy. They often have a very high lack of organization skills. Maybe they don't organize well. They avoid tasks that make them think. Inattentive kids often have no ability to follow through with what they're saying they're going to do. They often go between one unfinished task to the next. These are the kiddos that maybe they start a task, they don't have the discipline to be able to stay through it all, and they move on to their next one. Now, I just used a word that I need to go back and clarify here. I don't want y'all hearing saying, oh, they don't have the discipline to be able to get through a task, so they must need more of my discipline. That is not what I'm trying to say. They do need discipline, but coming in and being harder on these kids rarely, if ever, produces the results you're looking for. You've got to get more creative than that. You've got to. If you want it to work. No, I say you don't have to. You can keep doing it the way you've been doing it. Let me know how that works out for you. But we've got to get creative with it. And then also, these are the kiddos that have a tendency to struggle to finish tasks. Maybe they don't get all the way done with stuff. They really struggle to finish all the way. Maybe they're really great about getting started with their homework, but they may often have a hard time wrapping it all the way up. Moving on, hyperactivity. These are the kiddos that you will see fidgety, and they can't sit still. Now, in a lot of kiddos, this is often can just be a normal activity. So remember to factor in all those other things we talked about. Some kids just wiggle a lot more than others. Some of them just burn their energy by doing those kinds of things. So, but these are the kids that are real fidgety and just seem to be incapable of sitting still. They often display excessive talking. Maybe they just talk and chatter a lot. You know, they just... It just seems like there's some kind of a motor driving them at all time. Maybe they have excessive running or excessive climbing or excessive move. They're always moving. But it needs to be something that is in excess. Remember, it needs to be in excess for their age. A lot of this stuff, excessive talking is not uncommon in little kids as they're trying to learn their verbal skills. Excessive running is often normal in kids who are beginning to realize that they can open the throttle a little bit. So don't forget that. Hyperactivity, these are also the kids that a lot of people will say it seems like they're driven by a motor. They just go and go and go and go, and it's like they never run out of energy. And then often these kids are very noisy, right? Activity makes noise. I'm doing activity right now. And my activity is I'm moving this paper around, right? Think about it this way. When you're hyperactive, think about how much more noise you're going to make. And then last is impulsivity. What is that? These are your kiddos that blurt out the answers without waiting for the, you know, for somebody to call on them or to raise their hand. And they almost seem to be incapable of stopping that. These are the ones that often interrupt. They'll cut the teacher off to interrupt. Sometimes with, you know, if there's the inattentive part to it, sometimes what they interrupt with is a topic that's not even relevant. So they often interrupt. They don't take turns well. So in other words, if they're supposed to be sitting where they go and then they have to wait for somebody else, they may often jump in line or cut or go ahead and move out of turn to go ahead and go. It's not because they don't like or they're trying to be rude or disrespectful or hurtful or mean. But in a lot of cases, they just feel an incapability not to. And then often, these kiddos will do dangerous things. They'll just do the first thing that comes to their mind. Jumping out of the tree seemed like a really good idea. Making a parachute out of a garbage bag and trying to run and catch air and fly off of the side of a house seemed like a good idea. So they're often very, very impulsive and they'll do dangerous things. So let's wrap it up on this. What does a parent do whenever a kid has been diagnosed and we recognize these things? What are we to do? Now, we're going to go into this much deeper later, but I wanted to leave you guys with this nugget of hope that you're going to be okay and your kid is going to be okay. This is not mental retardation where now everything in their life is going to be stunted. Absolutely not. What does a parent need to do? Number one, keep it positive and realistic. Be realistic with your kids. If your kid has trouble with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, they may not ever make a very good librarian. So keep it realistic, but keep it positive. I'm not suggesting that you put rose-colored goggles on or that you try to lie to yourself about what's going on. But you do want to focus on trying to keep it positive. Instill a mentality of, hey, we'll figure this out. I mean, just remember that working through something like attention, you know, the struggle to keep attention or hyperactivity or impulsivity, you know, the ability to function through that is no different than any other thing we'd run across as it is like trying to figure out how to tie our shoes. Now, you might say, Trey, this is a bigger problem because it extends into different arenas. Yeah, I get you on that. But what do? If our kid's having trouble tying their shoes, what do? We work it out with them. We teach them. We find ways. We teach them little bunny loops go around, down the hole, whatever that is stuff is. I mean, that's not the way we did it in our family, but we look for those ways that we teach our kids. And this is no different. It's not a mountain to be scaled. Now, I'm not saying that it's not difficult sometimes. I'm not saying that there's not certain parts of it that are difficult. But it's not impossible. And so instill that we can figure this out. We'll get through this. No problem. You're not conceding that it won't have its struggles and its difficulties, but it's just keeping the focus that we're going to get there, you know, that we're going to get out of this and be fine. take the approach of, this is nothing that we can't figure out. That keeps kids focused on the solution rather than the problem. We're going to figure this out. And then, second part of it, what is a parent to do? Keep it positive and realistic is number one. And then number two, avoid negatives. Keep that positive perspective of what you're doing. Again, you need to see this as something that you're going to deal with, that you're going to get through. And I always recommend, don't totally discourage these personality characteristics in your kid. Just because we smack the word disorder on there doesn't mean that we need to medicate them into a numbness where they don't have these things anymore. High energy can be a really good thing. You ever sat and watched a convention where somebody, a guest speaker is up there, and you ever had somebody who's low energy versus somebody who's high energy? Which one did you have the easier time watching? So long as the high energy one wasn't like over the top, just wing batty, they often are the ones that are more fun to watch. So I encourage you, don't discourage those things. I've mentioned this on a few other of my podcasts, but I grew up being teased because of how much I could talk. No, I'm being dead serious. I mean, I had a coach who made a comment once. He said, Trey, you amaze me how you can say so much and say so little all at the same time. Really hurt my feelings. And I felt very discouraged, very dissuaded from being that way. Some of my buddies that I hung out, we would play a sport called airsoft. And in that, we all kind of had our different, call signs or whatever. And one of the guys tried to nickname me Talk Wolf because, the real popular thing in airsoft was everybody called themselves something wolf. So Black Wolf, Raven Wolf. I mean, it was like, if you want to be cool, you need to add the word wolf to the end of your name. And anyway, so they called me Talk Wolf. Really hurt my feelings. And I mean, I even began to ask myself, should I be shutting up more? Should I be doing that? But look now what happens. My ability to keep talking and carrying a conversation when nobody is in the room is very, very much so paying off for me on the Family Podcast Network. That is what radio talk show hosts or podcasters need to be able to do. And had I have listened to the discouraging talk, I wouldn't get to sit in front of my MacBook Pro living out my dream passion of talking to other parents hundreds at a time about how to improve and work with kiddos that are tough and even those that aren't. So don't totally discourage or destroy your kid for these things, because these are things that can quite potentially pay them off. Well, guys, that wraps up part one of our ADHD talks that we're going to be going over. You'll definitely want to join us next week. We're going to go over some of the major concerns that kids have with being ADHD in their diagnosis. We're going to talk about some of the concerns that they have for themselves, some of the fears, some of the worries, some of the thoughts that they have. And we're going to start getting segued for week three, which is going to be kind of what they call multimodal treatment. All that's saying is, you can't do just one thing. You can't pop a kid in a pill in a kid's mouth and then expect it to get better. You can't just say, we're going to talk to the teacher and everything's going to get better. You can't just set up a nice, organized structure at home and it all gets better. You have to do several at a time. You have to do a multimodal approach with all this. And we'll talk about that on week three. So, anyway, good topic for today. Hey, if you guys have any questions about this, feel free to shoot comments, questions over to me. I would love to take your question and answer it. You might even put in there, if you want to put it in the comment section right below here, that's fine. Or if you're on iTunes or something like that on your iPod or Android device, you can also just send me an email to Trey Gibson. That's TREYGIB as in Bravo, SON, at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can send me an email to that and ask me a question. You might throw in there, if you're okay with me using this on the air, I'd love to throw it in for kind of a Q&A time for next week if somebody does have questions. So Anyway, guys, that is all that I have for today. I want to say thank you for joining us for this episode of Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a good day. We will see you guys tomorrow on the Big Thursday.